Good morning, everyone, and happy Father's Day. So glad to have you here. We appreciate your attendance very, very much at the Augusta Road congregation. This morning, I want to talk about a very famous verse and one that is very fitting for the occasion of today being Father's Day. It was read earlier in our service, and I want to preach a sermon on Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. This is a famous verse in my thinking. It really is foundational on a lot of points, including Abraham's relationship with God. But more than that, in this verse we see Abraham's family's relationship with God and the role that Abraham played in his family's relationship with God. Let's see it again here. For I know him, or have known him, or have chosen him already in the service. We've seen some dimensionality. We've seen some layers to what's going on here in this verse. But God says, I have known him that he will command his children. We'll come back to some of these key thoughts in a second. And his household, that they shall keep the way of the Lord. First, we start with God. And it's with great pleasure that I mentioned to you this morning that God knows dads. God knows dads. And I personally like to think that God has a very special place in his heart for fathers. We have Father's Day, and not to beat us men up, I do that on other occasions, but I'll just quickly say Mother's Day is a big time for many congregations. Before the year even starts, there are some days that churches know will be very high attendance days. Not that attendance is all that matters. It definitely is not. But we know that Christmas will be a big time for people to come to service. We know that Easter will be a big time for people to come to service. And the third is Mother's Day. What's not on that list? Well, a lot of things are not on that list, including Father's Day. It's been my experience as a preacher for a while now that Mother's Day is a big get dressed up and go to church and take pictures with mom kind of day, whereas Father's Day is a big let's stay at home, let's go to the lake, let's grill out, let's do something else other than go to a church service. I say that you're here, of course, so You don't need to feel bad. I say that to encourage us dads. Hey, let's step up our game. Let's be the kind of dads that our moms would be proud of. God knows dads, and God, I think, has a special place in his heart for fathers. He, after all, is our father. It's by careful design that God is a father to us and not a mother to us. We love both mothers and fathers. Already said that. But we understand a father's role and how important it is. Fathers teach and fathers provide and fathers have big, huge responsibility. This statement that I made to Julie, my wife, it admittedly didn't come out of my mouth in the best way. But years ago, I said to her, you know, I understand why men leave their families. And, you know, there was kind of this awkward moment, like, what did you just say? Kind of like now, minus the laughter, you know? She wasn't laughing. that didn't come out of my mouth the way that I wanted it to come out of my mouth on that occasion. But I get it, you know, the responsibility is heavy, and that's what I was trying to say. The responsibility is heavy, and, you know, there's never a break from it, right? There's never a time where I'm not a provider, I'm not the father of my family. There's never a time that gets switched off. It's constant, And some men, quote-unquote men, buckle under that pressure, and they want to go back to being children again. And We know, we've seen, and we are seeing kind of how that looks when a home is run that way by a man who's not quite ready to be a man, who still kind of wants to be a boy, and it's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. God is our Father. God knows fathers. And I think that God has a special place in his heart for dads and for the responsibility that dads take on. God says, I know Abraham. Of course, God knows everything. Everything is his. The cattle on thousands of hills belong to God. Psalm 50, verse 10, we are all before his all-observing eye. We know that. Abraham was, and so are we. But we transition from God to Abraham. And we shine a bright light on Abraham. And it's very fitting because Abraham was, of course, a friend of God. The Bible declares in James chapter 2, verse 23, Abraham is a friend of God. And just to borrow a little bit from this morning's Bible class hour, all of these declarations are made about Abraham after he obeys God. Abraham is a friend of God. Abraham believes God. Abraham is worthy of praise and emulation because of the obedience that he rendered to God. Abraham, Paul says, is the father of our faith in many ways. We're different religiously than what Abraham was. Romans chapter 4 gets into these details, and in verse number 16, Romans 4, 16 says that we are heirs of Abraham. We're descendants of Abraham. Even though we serve a Savior that Abraham never knew, Abraham never had the Bible stories read to him or taught to him that we have read to us and taught to us. Abraham didn't know of Jesus' sacrifice, not in the way that we know it. So we're different from Abraham religiously, but we are like Abraham in terms of our faith. So God, Abraham's children, next. God says, I know Abraham, that he will, here's a word for you to underline in your Bibles in Genesis 18, 19, he will command his children after him. We all certainly hope that our children will be good, faithful Christians, active in the Lord's church. When I talk about a faithful Christian, once upon a time I made this statement. I said, I don't just want my daughters to marry members of the Church of Christ. I want them to marry Christians. I want them to marry active members of the Lord's church. And not just somebody who comes in and does little else, but somebody who is a true Christian. A Christian, you know, the word means a follower of Christ. Did Jesus just kind of get by with as little as could possibly be done? You know the answer to that question. It's an obvious no. Jesus came and he did so much. And he looked for ways to do more. And that's what we want to be. We want to be those kind of people. And we understand this morning there's a real difference between being that way, that kind of follower of Christ, and just a casual member somewhere. Well, Abraham's children would be blessed because of Abraham as their father. I'm reminded every year this day that being a father does not automatically make us right all the time, right? You know that. I'm not the head of a family because I'm right all the time. I'm not the head of a family because I've really done anything to distinguish myself in that area. That's not the way it works, you know. So us fathers are human. We're fallible. We're flawed in a lot of ways. Abraham wasn't perfect. As exemplary as he was, Abraham wasn't perfect. He was perfectly imperfect. I like to think of him in those terms. Abraham was a man who may at times have been slow to fully obey God, Lot being a possible point to be made in that illustration. But Abraham was somebody whom God could use to bless his family and by extension us. And even though Abraham wasn't perfect, Abraham would take his role as a father with big responsibility. And he would, here's the word, I said we would come back to it, he would command his children. Listen, if we could have our way, we would pull out that magic wand and have faithful children who want to please God, who want to be active in the Lord's church, who look forward to do mission work and all of the other things that they can do to please the Lord in various local bodies of his church. We would all want that, right? We all want our children to want to do what God wants them to do. I'll say that again. We all want our children to want to do what God wants them to do. But, you know, we're here for a while. We have attachments to this world. There are things that we like. There are things that we don't like. My family doesn't like getting up early during the summer months. They don't like it. But, you know, you have to sometimes, and Sunday morning is one of those times. So there are things that we like. There are things that we want to do. Listen, none of us gets through life without being tempted to do something that we want instead of what God wants for us. We know the way temptation works. James chapter 1 explains it to us. It is an outgrowth of lust and desire. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 let us know that these temptations, they come with their alluring packaging. And these temptations, they appeal to us by nature, by definition. These are things that we would like. Now, these might not be things that God likes. About Moses' life, it is said in Hebrews chapter 11 that Moses forsook the pleasures of sin for a season. Now think about that, Hebrews chapter 11, and the spot that Moses was in as he was there having to make a decision by circumstances, providence perhaps. Moses was safe and sound in Pharaoh's palace until the day that he was called to leave. Moses, safe, sound, warm when it's cold outside, cold when it's warm outside, has plenty to eat, plenty to wear, lots to do. Moses is, well, he's living a king's life. He is the adoptive son of Pharaoh's daughter, remember. What luxuries would be spared for the adoptive grandson of the head guy in charge? Not many, right? Not many. What do you spare your children and grandchildren? Not much. You give them a lot. And Pharaoh, probably in typical fashion, gave his adoptive grandson Moses a lot, a whole lot, until one day all of that changed. And Moses had a choice to make. Am I going to stay here in Pharaoh's house where God does not want me to be? Or am I going to leave all this behind? I imagine that wasn't an easy choice. Am I going to leave all this behind and and go into a question mark that God has for me. I don't know what God's going to lead me to do. I don't know where God wants me to go. He just says go, and he's going to show the way. That, I don't know. That seems a little uncertain. That seems a little scary. And that's where Moses was. Ironically, that's where Abraham was in Genesis chapter 12. When he is met by God and told to go pick up from his comfortable, familiar surroundings, you go to a land that I will show you, God says to Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. And as Moses decides to follow God, the writer of Hebrews tells us he forsook the pleasures of sin, which were for a season. Now that tells us so much, so much. Lots of which we'll have to kind of leave for another time. But one thing for sure it makes clear is that sin is fun. Sin is fun. And in the process of rearing our children, there are going to be some things that they want to do that God doesn't want them to do. There will be some places they want to go that God doesn't want them to go. There will be some things that they want to wear that God doesn't want them to wear. There will be some movies that they want to go see that God doesn't want them to go see. There will be some music that they want to listen to that God doesn't want them to listen to. And there will be a little conflict in the family. This is all normal stuff. Don't be alarmed. We know that this is going to happen. We're not omnipotent like God is. We're not omniscient like God is, but we know some things. And we know that life with our children will come with struggles. There will be this tension, right? Not because they're bad kids, just because they're normal. I mean, that's the way it is for everybody. There will be some things that they want to do that God doesn't want them to do. Some things they want to wear that God doesn't want them to wear. Some things they want to go to that God doesn't want them to go to. All that stuff I said before. And in that moment, we, fathers, parents, but fathers are going to play an important role. And I want you to see the word that we've come back to a few times here. It's command. God says that Abraham will command his children. Ideally, we would have kids who aren't tempted by anything that the world has to offer. That's not realistic. That's why I said ideally, right? We would have children who don't want to be like their friends at school, or we would have children who don't have any of the struggles with temptation that we know is common to everybody. But we're not going to have kids like that. Abraham didn't have kids like that. You're not going to have kids like that. I don't have kids like that. Nobody does, because nobody's like that. So in the moments where there's that struggle, God wants this, my daughter wants that. God wants this, my son wants that. Parents, fathers need to step up and command that God be followed. That's what Abraham would do. That's why we're talking about him this morning, you know? Because he was a good father like that. Not a perfect man. We've already talked about that. But when Abraham's children didn't want to wake up early and go to Bible class, Abraham said, "This is what we're doing. This is a rule for this family to follow." And maybe they fussed. I don't know. Maybe you have had battles in your family about waking up and coming to Bible class. Maybe you've had battles in your family about church attendance on Sunday nights, or whether or not we're going to be faithful during the summer or whatever it might be, right? But learn this from Abraham and mark this down for sure. Abraham was not above telling his children, this is the way it's going to be. This is what I know that God wants. And that's what we're going to do. Everybody might be fussing at me. I might make the whole family mad when I say, no, we're not going to watch that movie. I might make the whole family mad. Tears might be shed. Voices might be raised. I might make everybody mad when I say, you know what? We're not skipping church for that. We're not skipping church for anything. People might be mad at that, but God won't be. God won't be. God says, I know Abraham, and because I know Abraham, I know some things about his kids. God, Abraham, his children. I preached a sermon not too long ago on Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 famously contains Joshua's appeal to the people to make a choice. Who are you going to serve? What's it going to be, God or somebody else? Joshua says, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And then the Bible follows just a little farther, and the Bible lets us know about the death of Joshua and how after Joshua's death, the people who knew Joshua were faithful, but then after the death of the people who knew Joshua, faithfulness in Israel, it fell off a cliff. And I was talking to some of my friends about that, members of our congregation here about that, and we were just analyzing that and saying, man, you know what this is saying, right? This is saying that, you know, we're a generation away from stuff going bad. I can be as faithful as humanly possible, and that only has a small impact. But we have to be as faithful as humanly possible so that other people will see that faithfulness and be faithful themselves, so that others will be faithful, so that others will be faithful. It's kind of a spin on 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. You teach others who will teach others who will teach others who will teach others so that everybody can be faithful. But never, ever, ever put it on auto drive. Never, ever, ever put it on autopilot or coast into it or think, yeah, we're fine. I've had parents and grandparents tell me, oh, I'm not worried about my children because they go to the Devos or they go to Bible classes. Never, 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 never be complacent, right? Because there's so much that needs to be done, and fathers are doers. Fathers need to be doers. It's unfortunately been demonstrated clearly to my eyes in my years of ministry where there have sat in the church building grandparents who are solid as a rock. I mean, they know their Bibles. Man, they're there every single time. I mean, if they're not there, something's wrong. Big wrong. And their children were raised in homes that put church and faithfulness first. But they left the home, these children did, had children of their own where things weren't that way. And ironically, bizarrely, really, I guess is the better word for it, I have been a teacher of teenagers I have taught teenage Bible classes with grandchildren sitting in those Bible classes who are the grandchildren of these rock solid, faithful, dedicated folks I told you about at the beginning. And these grandchildren of these folks here, I say, open up. We're going to study the book of Galatians this morning. And you know what I see? I see this. What book again? Galatians. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Number. It's in the New Testament. Okay. Matthew, Mark. Galatians, here it is. Breaks my heart. These are precious souls who are one generation removed from folks who can quote more Bible than I can quote. And I say we're going to study the book of Galatians this morning. And they act like they've never heard of the man. God says, I know Abraham. And because I know Abraham, I know some things about his kids. See how it comes back full circle? We're talking about God. We're talking about Abraham. We're talking about Abraham's children. And now we're talking back about God. Because God is there throughout. I know him, God says, that he will command if necessary. He will insist. He will make his kids, if necessary, be as faithful as one person can make another person be. That they will keep the way of the Lord, that the Lord may bless them. The Lord is back here at the end of Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. It starts and begins with God. I know him, that he will keep his children after the Lord's ways, that the Lord may bless Abraham to do justice and to bring upon Abraham all that he has spoken. You know, one of the great things that God has said to Abraham, that we would be blessed because of him. In his seed, all of us, all the nations of the world will be blessed. This morning, that blessing is in Christ. And we're thankful to God, our Father, who makes that salvation possible. We're equally thankful this morning for fathers who take this role to raise their children and lead their families in God's way seriously. We're thankful for mothers, too. And, oh yeah, by the way, we're thankful for good kids, because good kids make this whole process easier. This morning, we have an opportunity to be the kind of family that pleases God, the kind of family that serves him, the kind of family that belongs to him and is different in this world because of him. If you need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized today, we would love to help you with that. If you're just at the beginning stages of understanding that process, no shame in that. We were all there once. If we can help you to better understand that plan of salvation and show it to you from the Bible, oh, we would love that opportunity. Absolutely, we would love it. If you're ready, though, don't wait. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are already a member of the Lord's church, that's fantastic. It really is. Know this, our responsibility to God has not ended. We saw God at the beginning and end of this process that we've talked about this morning. We can't leave God out. God is going to be there. We need to make sure that we and our families are close to him. If you need to repent of sin, we ask you to do that. Not so we can keep tabs on you, It's not about that. We ask you to repent of your sin so that its guilt won't be chargeable to you anymore, so that we can worship the Lord and serve him faithfully together. This morning, we invite you to come while we stand and sing, if you have a need, please.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.